We have been talking about church growth on some of our Sunday nights, and we want to continue that discussion tonight as we continue to look at some of God's plan to grow the church His way. And if you remember a few weeks ago when we first touched on this idea, we talked about the first step, which was for us as individual Christians to keep our lives pure, to get the sin out of our lives so that we wouldn't be a stumbling block to others, so that others wouldn't be pointing at us and saying, oh, look at the hypocrite there, and I don't want to be like that, because certainly that does hinder the church's growth. Tonight, we want to turn our attention in a different direction. We want to look at the first part of the second step. The second step overall is simply to exalt Jesus. This is His church. It's the church that He died for, and so much. So we want to exalt Jesus. Tonight we want to look specifically at exalting Jesus' name. His name is a very special name. And it certainly, though there are many things about Jesus that should be exalted, must be exalted, let's start with the name that is to be glorified in us and by us. As a part of His body, we want to be sure that anything that we're doing is going to be pointing people toward Jesus and not toward us ourselves. Because sometimes we talked about that first point being, well, we need to get ourselves right. Unfortunately, sometimes we then start to try to point people to, well, look at me, I'm living a good life, I'm living the right life. And we put the focus on ourselves instead of focusing them toward Jesus. So we want to be sure that we're pointing people toward Jesus. And we want to consider 2 Thessalonians 1, 11 and 12. There Paul says, therefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul tells the Thessalonians that he wants the name of Jesus, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be glorified in us. And if we'll do that, it will help the church to grow. First of all, it will help us to grow spiritually, but it can also lead to numerical growth as others see that glory that we're giving to Jesus. But he also says that we'll also be glorified in Him in the process. Now that certainly our glory is not our purpose. That's not our goal. But it is a wonderful benefit. You know, it's just like when we talk about when we come together to worship God, our purpose is to praise and adore Him. Our purpose is not, our direct goal is not to uplift one another. But as we worship and praise Him and lift Him up, a wonderful byproduct of that is as we do that together, we are all lifted up. If we're doing that with the proper spirit and with the proper attitude, we're going to be lifted up. And so it is with glorifying the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we do that, it's going to bring us up as well. We'll lift Him up, and He will pull us up along with Him. And so that's a wonderful thing about it. So we want to look at a few reasons that we need to exalt Jesus' name. We must exalt Jesus' name because, first of all, we are baptized in His name. Acts 2:38, Acts 8:16, several other passages, Paul talks to the Corinthians. He said, you know, you weren't baptized in the name of Paul or Stephen. You were baptized in the name of Jesus. And so because that is the name that Peter proclaimed on the day of Pentecost, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ.
That name is a very special name. It matters. It's important.
I think there is a reason that that name is the one. And I know in the, what we often call the Great Commission, the sending forth the disciples into all the world, and there Jesus says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, depending on your translation. And in that case, we say, well, okay. But then Peter makes clear to us on the day of Pentecost that what Jesus was really saying, that name, the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, but the name that they all are giving to us to be lifting up is not the name of the Father, although that certainly, you know, Jesus says, hallowed be your name in his sample prayer that he gives. So certainly the Father's name is to be hallowed. We certainly recognize that the Holy Spirit is also a part of the Godhead and to be honored and reverenced as such. But it's the name of Jesus. He is our King. He is the founder of our faith, the author of our faith. And so it's that name, the name Jesus Christ, that is so essential to us. We also want to notice that we must exalt that name because it is the name by which we do good. Mark 9 and verse 41, Jesus says, whoever gives you a cup of cold water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, truly I tell you, he will not lose his reward. Now, of course, a cup of water is a small thing. But if it's given in the name of Jesus, if we do good, we're not to do good for our own glory or for our own honor or for the honor of anyone else or anything else, but that glory that is given because we are serving our Lord and Master, Jesus Christ. So it is the name that we do the good things that we do them in that name. We do them by that authority. We do them as representatives of Him. You know, you see all the time, you know, someone will give something to a charity or to someone in some way, and they're giving a donation in behalf of someone else. It may be, you know, a business, or it may be a charity of some kind or something. But they're giving that on behalf of someone else. And when we do good, we're not doing good on our own behalf. We're doing good on behalf of Jesus Christ. He is our Master. He is our King. And He is our Head. And He is the one whose name is the sponsor of all the good that we do and all the good that we should do. We also must exalt His name because it is powerful. In Acts chapter 19, verses 13 and 20, in Acts chapter 3, verses 6 and 16, chapter 4, verses 10 and 30, and chapter 16 and verse 18, in all of these places, we see the power of Jesus' name. Acts 19 is... I love this passage of Scripture. Maybe I shouldn't love it quite as much as I do for the reasons that I do. But you know, this is the passage where these seven scoundrels who are the sons of Sceva are out there pretending, and they're casting out demons, and they're saying, I adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. And on one occasion they go in to try to do this, and the evil spirit says, I know Jesus, and I know Paul. Who do you think you are? You know, the power of the name of Jesus, it's a powerful thing. And they were trying to use it like a magic talisman or some sort of special incantation that if they just said the name, it would do the trick. Now, the name is powerful, but it's not to be misused in that way. It was given to be used by those who believed in Jesus Christ, not by those who did not. And we see that in some of these other cases. In Acts chapter 3, we see Peter healing the man who had been lame there. And he says, I don't have any silver and gold, but I'll give you what I do have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. That power, by the authority of the name of Jesus Christ, this man was healed. And we see the same thing in chapter 4 as he's talking about that. He says, I want all of you people of Israel to know that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, even by him, this man stands here before you whole. So that's how he was healed in that case. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 30, as the disciples are praying to the Father, and they're talking about how God is reaching out and healing in this prayer. And he said, and they say in this prayer, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of your holy child, Jesus. That name's a special name. It was a name chosen and given. And it was told before he was even born, this is to be his name. Now, of course, to many in that time, the name Jesus was a common name. A lot of people were named Jesus. But it became a special name when it was given to God's only Son. Chapter 16, verse 18 as well, shares that same kind of thing, the ability to cast out a demon or an evil spirit by the power of the name of Jesus Christ. But more than that, we must exalt that name because it is authoritative. It's Jesus' name on actions that gives them the authority, that gives them the approval, that allows us to know that we are to do them and that we are doing things according to the will of God. In Acts chapter 9 and verse number 27 through 29, as Barnabas is bringing Saul, to be known as Paul, back to the apostles, it says that he declared to them how Saul had seen the Lord on the way to Damascus and that he had spoken to him, that's the Lord had spoken to Saul, and how he, that's Saul, had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. He wasn't just preaching any old thing. Now, there were a lot of teachers in that day and age that taught an awful lot of different philosophies in the world. But when someone taught in the name of Jesus, there was a special message that they taught. It wasn't just some Greek philosophy lesson. It wasn't just good Roman citizenship. They were teaching the will of God. They were teaching the words and teachings of God Almighty. Several of these other passages also. In 1 Corinthians 5, 4 and 5, Paul gives the name of Jesus as the authority for the practice of church discipline. He says, when you've gathered together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan. The practice of church discipline was not just, well, we don't like this guy, so we're going to jump all over him and discipline him. No, the discipline of the church was to be handed out to those who violated the authority of Jesus Christ. And then the discipline was handed down by the authority of Jesus Christ. Second Thessalonians 3:6 also talks about that. Colossians 3:17 basically tells us that whatever we're doing, whether it's a word, a teaching, a speech, an action of any kind, if we're going to do it, we need to be doing it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be doing it by His authority, according to what He taught us. Now, sometimes I know that causes some problems because some people think that He authorizes some things and others say, well, no, He didn't authorize that. And we have to try to study and see, okay, what did He authorize, what did He not authorize? But we understand we need to be living our lives day in and day out according to the teachings and the example of Jesus Christ and what He shared with us and what He brought for us. But more than that, we must exalt the name of Jesus because we can have life through it. You know, no one else on earth can say, hey, here's my name. My name will bring you life. And yet Jesus' name does that. John 20 and verse 31, John says of the things that he wrote throughout his gospel, that they were written so that we could believe on the Son, on Jesus, that He is the Christ, the Son of God. And that by believing, you might have life through His name. It's by the name of Jesus Christ. And I realize, of course, again, it's not like the sons of Sceva were trying to use it like some talisman that we just go around throwing Jesus' name on people and it's going to give them life. That's not what we're talking about. It's not a magical incantation. But it's through not just the name, but all that that name represents. And what does the name of Jesus Christ represent? It represents the virgin birth. It represents the prophecies of the Christ coming. It represents the perfect, sinless life that Christ lived. It represents His death and His burial and His resurrection as well. When we say Jesus Christ, we're not just saying some person's name. We're describing all of the things that that name encompasses. You know, there are a lot of names like that to us. Some good and some bad. If I say names like Benedict Arnold, Adolf Hitler, or Saddam Hussein. Now, those are just names, right? We don't name our children those names, though, do we? Judas Iscariot. We don't pick those names. Jezebel, Delilah. Now, there are a lot of names that they were just names. But when we say those names, what comes to mind is not just a name, but the person that that name represents. I imagine that there may have been many people who shared some of those. We know Judas, for example, was a very common name. You know, we have a book in the Bible that is called Jude. Good chance his parents actually named him Judas. But because of the events that happened with that other Judas, he didn't want to be associated with that guy, so he stopped going by that name. There are other names that we associate with great things, good things. You know, when we hear names like George Washington, now there are probably thousands upon thousands of people throughout the history of our country that were named George Washington. But when I say George Washington, unless you're related to one of those other guys, you don't think about him. You think about the guy that was the president, that led the Revolutionary Army. That's the one you think of. In many cases, that's the case. That names that are just common names, but because one person took that name and made it something more than what it was before. And that's what Jesus Christ did. No other person could ever wear the name Jesus like He did. No other person could ever offer life through their name. In fact, we must exalt His name because it's the only one through which we can be saved. It's the only name that carries with it power of forgiveness of sin and salvation. Acts chapter 4 and verse 10 through 12, he explains this, and when he gets down to verse 12, he says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." We can't be saved by anyone else. Only Jesus. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 11 listed some heinous sins. But he said, But you are washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. The name of Jesus is so very important. Jesus Himself said so after His resurrection in Luke 24, verses 46 and 47. He was talking to those men as they walked along the way, and He said, "Yeah, don't you know, this is what was written. Christ had to suffer and rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." What a wonderful name. But you know, another thing that we need to consider is that we must exalt His name because it is worth dying for. I can't think of another name that is worth dying for. I think about I like to watch police type shows sometimes, the criminal justice kind of shows sometimes. And the witness that has to be put in witness protection, and they change their name to save their life because they're keeping their own name isn't worth dying for, right? I mean, if it came down to either you've got to change your name or you're going to die, most of us would probably say, "Give me a new name then. Move me across the country. Save my life, if that's what it takes." But when it comes to the name of Jesus, we can't sacrifice that name to save our lives. It's not a worthy trade. It's a name that's worth dying for. Acts 15, verse 26, "Men have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." In Acts 21, verse 13, Paul said, "I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." 1 Peter 4:14 also, the same idea. Some of us might say, yeah, I'm ready to die for the name of Jesus. But are we ready to live for Him every day? I think sometimes that it would be easier to build up the courage to make one stand that would result in death for Christ than each and every day to have to face again, am I going to be faithful to Him? Am I going to stand up for His name? Day in and day out, we get tired. We get frustrated. We face the temptation every day. Sometimes that's harder. Sometimes I think we could get up that courage that one time. But we have to get up that courage every day. Day after day after day. So even though it is worth dying for, it's also a name that's worth living for. But we must exalt His name because it will be exalted. And we have the choice. We can either exalt it as it should be, or it will be exalted by God without us. And we don't want to be on the other side of that picture. Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 10, he says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You see, when we exalt Jesus' name, when we kneel down to Him, when we, with our tongues, confess that He is Lord, we're not just exalting Him in His name, we're exalting the Father, because that's what the Father has commanded us to do. Now, there's going to come a day at the end of time that Jesus is going to give up all of the rule and all of the lordship, and He's going to give the kingdom back to the Father. And at that time, of course, then we will continue to be living in eternity with Him and with the Father if we've been faithful to Him. But for the present time, God is saying, you exalt My Son's name. He is Lord right now. He is reigning. He is King. And that if we want to glorify the Father in heaven, we're going to glorify His Son and His Son's name. Because it is above every other name. Therefore, God also has highly exalted Him and has given Him a name which is above every other name. A wonderful name. It was the name that God chose for His Son when He came into the world. He could have chosen any name. He's God. But that was the one that was chosen. That was the one that was intended. And that's the name then that we need to respect and honor. That's one of the reasons that we choose, even though there are many names that the church could wear that would be biblical names, we choose to honor Christ through the name the Church of Christ, church that belongs to Christ. It's His body. We work and live and move and breathe at His command, by His will, because He allows it. And we worship and serve Him throughout our days. And we need to exalt His name. It is a name. And when we take that name and we lift that name up, it will, just as Jesus Himself said of Himself, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto Me. The fact of the matter is, if we lift Jesus' name up, it will draw men to Him. It's a sad thing to me to see the way that the name of Jesus is used by many people as just a byword, a cuss word, just thrown out there with no thought and no respect. A name that should be respected highly. A name that is all of these things that we've talked about this evening. If you haven't been exalting Jesus' name as you should, if perhaps you haven't been baptized in His name, or if perhaps you have not been doing all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you haven't been kneeling before Him and confessing Him as the Lord, you know, I think sometimes that our confession before baptism is, well, that's it. I confess the Lord before men. Confessing Jesus is a daily activity that we need to continue to do. It's not a one-time action. It's like believing. We don't say, well, I believed in Jesus that one day before I was baptized, so I don't need to believe in Him anymore. Well, no, we keep believing. We need to keep confessing Him. And if we'll do that, if we'll honor His name by confessing Him, He promises us He'll confess us before His Father. If you have a need to respond to God's invitation for any reason tonight, please come as we stand and as we sing.